Doc Severinsen will be performing a trio of shows at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs on Friday, the 23rd of August, through Sunday, the 25th, with the San Miguel Five. It is an honor to welcome back Doc Severinsen to the roundtable. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Very nice to have you on the program. Give us a sense of what it is like, of what you look for now when you go out and you do dates and you do gigs, of what you're hoping to accomplish, what you like to do.
I'm trying to have a really good time for myself and the guys in the band. And if I have picked wisely as far as the sidemen and the tunes we play, that ought to take care of the audience, too. So, by my guess, if we do everything right, we're going to have a good time, and the audience is going to really have a good time.
When you have a good time, you're enjoying that in the moment, right? I mean, when you're playing, that is joy.
I would say so, yeah.
Let's talk about the San Miguel Five. How did this group come about?
I don't know, maybe something like almost 10 years ago, I had a different marital situation, and we decided to move to San Miguel. We had visited there on several occasions and really fell in love with it, and rightfully so. It's a beautiful place. First night I went out to a restaurant, my whole family was visiting, and we went out, and there was a group playing. And I went up and introduced myself. And, of course, I was just fresh off the Tonight Show. And I guess I expected they would know me. I said, "Hi, I'm Doc Severinsen." And they looked at me sort of like, "Yeah, what can we do for you?" And then from there, things got better. One of the guys in the band was married to an American lady and had been married for years and lived down there. And she explained to them about the Tonight Show and, you know, different things that I had done. And then everything got a lot warmer. And the minute I heard them playing, though, I just felt like I want to play with these guys. And it's a different players, but same kind of instrumentation now. And I would say, you know, we were talking before about having a good time at what you're doing.
Right.
Then the audience has a good time. Well, that's what this group is really all about. And the caliber of musicianship is really very high.
When, by the way, one of the most diplomatic things I think ever said on this program was when I had a different marital situation.
Well, it's a lovely way of putting it. I have other times I didn't put it as well, and it cost me dearly.
It's very, very nicely done. You know, when you think about finding musicians of this caliber, talk about the trust between you and these other musicians of what it's like to be up there. They are, as you say, your sidemen, but they're there and they're having a good time. You're having a good time, but there does have to be a good relationship and a good core and trust there.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's true in any case. Where you have five or six musicians that are, everything is ad lib. But still, you can't just play whatever you feel like, you know. I mean, you got to have a point of view of the music and an attitude that's collective. That was immediately forthcoming when I played with these guys. And the instrumentation is interesting. It's when I first heard them, it was guitar, bass, and violin. And I thought they were just going to play all Spanish music, but they got into all different kinds of music. So I asked him if I could sit in, and I did not get an immediate yes, because they had every night guys dropping by, hey, I can play such and such. Can I sit in with you guys? And, you know, that could be a mess. But then, as I said, the wife of one of the guys explained, well, you might want to let this guy play a little bit. It might turn out okay. And fortunately, it did, because here we are 10 or 15 years later. And although I moved out of Mexico, yet another marital ploy on my part. But we've remained good friends. And whenever it's possible to get together and play, we do. I defy anybody in the audience to get more enjoyment out of it than we are. I can't really explain what our musical attitude is, but it's very inclusive to the audience.
So how much of that do you think is you? I mean, that was even the dynamic in the Tonight Show band, is that you had this incredible group of people. You guys just seemed like you were having a blast.
You know why? Because we were.
Yeah.
Being with Johnny and with that kind of an attitude, it gets ingrained very quickly. I don't know. It just seems like the natural thing. Well, if you're not having fun and really enjoying yourself, then why are you doing it?
Right.
You know, do something else. And I'm too lazy to steal. I'm too nervous to steal.
Yeah.
So I stay with the music. And these guys we've become very, very close friends. Even when we're not working together for a period of time, we stay in touch. I think it's really obvious when people come to watch us play or hear us play. These guys are like maybe all from one family, or I don't know, something, but they're sure having a good time. Let's see, now we bought the tickets. Maybe we better get in and have a good time too.
That's right. Absolutely. You have a project called The Lost Tapes, Volume 1 and 2, and this was something that you had done a long time ago in the 70s and 80s, and then it comes, and then you're reintroduced to it, and now it's out for public consumption.
Yeah, well, this is stuff that I played with some high school bands down in Texas, where the level of excellence with these high school kids there is equivalent to what the top bands in the services in Washington, D.C., you know, the Army band, the
right.
Navy band, the Air Force band, it's of that caliber. And we had music written. Every concert, we'd have a new concerto written that I would play with them. And then we just had fun music, too. You know, that was a lot more relaxed, I suppose. But one day, a friend of mine sat me down. I was visiting with him in Kentucky. He says, hey, I got something I want to play for you. So he puts it on. I heard it was a trumpet player and a concert band of very good abilities. And I said, who's that trumpet player? He said, that's you. I said, get out of here. He said, yeah, that's you playing with such and such band down in Texas. And he said, you really ought to look into this, because you played a whole lot of them. You played every year with them for 15 years, and there's a lot of great music like this that I'm playing for you. It was, some of it was classical. Some of it was a little more popish kind of stuff. But the level of excellence was quite something. So I did look into it and spend a couple of years getting the tapes remastered. And I'm very proud of it, not only because of the music, but I did play with this band every year for, well, at least 15 years. The band director was like a brother to me. And the kids in the band I was about the right age to be a father to them. They felt like they were my kids, but we just had the most incredible relationship musically as well. So when they brought these tapes to me, I said, wow, we ought to do something with that. And so we did. My daughter, Nancy, who's a music producer in Hollywood for different big-time shows and all, she took an interest in it, and she said, well, you know, we have to do this, that, and the other thing. And I said, okay, Nancy, you're in charge. She was the executive producer, and so here I am taking orders from my eldest daughter. And I'm glad I did, because it really turned out very, very well. It's music I'm proud to be associated with.
You were saying a moment ago that you, when you first listened to the tape, of wondering who that trumpet player is, which brought to mind a question of how do you think your sound has evolved and changed? Is it with the maturity and as you get older, does it improve? Does all of that understanding and working with others and having fun make it so that the sound is different and richer?
Well, I always felt that being very personal with the other players and the music and enjoying it, that's a number one. As the years go by, you know, maybe physically you might play just not quite as good on some things, but you make up for it by a certain maturity in your approach to the music. You can hear it between the band and myself in these records. It's very personal, but without lowering the level of excellence at all. I mean, it isn't just a bunch of good old boys getting together and having a good old time. I mean, it's high class music, but there's a love and a friendship there that's unmistakable.
Do you know any of the backstories as far of these young people that you played with in the 70s and 80s? Did they go on to any musical success?
Well, there's quite a number of them, I think, that went on to become, they majored in music in college.
Yes.
And then they became high school band directors. Does that put it in a good light there?
It sure does. Well, I would think if I played with you in the 70s and I'm working in a Texas high school now, and here's when I played as a kid with Doc Severinsen, that still says a lot.
Yeah. It works, because what we did was real and honest. They get the message right away that becoming a really adept a high school or college band director, if you've been there and done it at a very high degree of excellence, you're going to bring that to your work, and it's going to be better for everybody.
You are obviously in a very small class of people. You, Paul Schaefer, Skitch Henderson, a couple of others, who had what I've heard described as just the gig of a lifetime. You know, every night you can go out, you can play great music. There's the recognition of who you are, and afterwards, whatever that post career is, you always have that. Do you agree? Is that like just the greatest gig that a musician can have?
Oh yeah, I have said it to openly to other people and thought it to myself that I am so lucky. I had the best gig in the music business in the United States, bar none. I knew it when I was doing it, and that's why it was a joy to go to work and to look back on what we did. When I took over being the leader on the Tonight Show band as a full-time thing, I explained to the guys in the band, I said, look, you know, we're used to going to work and doing this kind of stuff every day. We don't have to wear any particular thing. And there's a kind of a feeling that sets in where you take it for granted. I said, I don't want that to ever happen to this band. Mm. I want us to go every day we take our horns out of the cases. It's with the attitude, this really is one of the greatest bands in the history of the world, and then proceed to live up to it.
And you all got to shine. I mean, we as an audience got to know you. We got to know Tommy Newsom. We got to know Ed Shaughnessy. We got to know the guys.
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly the way I wanted it to be. If you got a leader up there that's going to hold everybody back so that he can be out front and shining the brightest, then that's not a recipe for joyousness.
Yeah.
And let's face it, I think we all look back on those days, what a joyous time that was, how lucky we were to be together doing that.
We're going to have an awful lot of fun with you in town for 3 nights at Cafe Lena. You're going to be...
Oh, you know something that I don't know?
Well, you said it was going to be just... You said you were going to have a great time, and you said we would have a great time as well.
Well... Yes, I believe that.
It's Doc Severinsen at Cafe Lena with the San Miguel Five. You're going to be performing Friday and Saturday night at 8, Sunday night at 7. And Doc Severinsen, I just I so appreciate you being here. I'm such a fan, and I thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Well, I'm sure I enjoyed talking to you, Joe. I mean, it's you ask good questions. And now I got the whole rest of the day to enjoy our little time together and to look forward to the gig at Cafe Lena. Do you think, is there really a Lena?
There was a Lena. There was a Lena. It was one of the first coffee houses in the United States. There was a Lena, passed away several years ago. There has been a wonderful trust that has taken it over and has kept its legacy alive. It's a great, historic, beautiful place.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
And I might even get out to the track.
Well, I was hoping you would, yes. Doc Severinsen, a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Make my donation to
the New York Racing Association, yes. Excellent. Doc Severinsen, thank you very much. Be well.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Doc Severinsen will be performing a trio of shows at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs Friday, August 23rd. That's this Friday through Sunday with the San Miguel Five. Cafe Lena, 2 Fs, don't forget. CafeLena.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.